and that it that repentance is a turning from the old thing. So God's been showing us that we need to turn from the natural way of doing things, turn from the fleshly abilities, turn from the mechanisms that we've used to get through this plane and grasp the Lord. And Peterson in the Message in Romans 12, 1 and 2 says the best thing we can do for God is to embrace what he's done for us. Now that totally takes it out of the religious realm, doesn't it? Takes it out of the striving. We just open up and let the things that God has created flow through us. The love that he has for us flows through us. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Now Jesus, it's weird because his body had to be crucified in order for his spirit to flow freely among us, right? So that one life died so that we could all be enriched and live that life. It's so beautiful. Do you think it's any different for us, that kernel of wheat? That's our fleshly hopes and dreams and aspirations need to fall to the ground and die, so that our life, the life that he's placed in us, can go out and bless other people. So let's go over to Romans 12 again. I just think we need to do something there. We got to look at that one more time. You know, I'm looking at this, and there's things I don't understand about it still. See, it says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Your body, that's the natural realm party, right? And he says, that's holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't understand what the connection is that we offer our bodies, but our mind gets transformed. Anybody else catch that? I mean, that's a head scratcher for me. It's kind of like that kernel of wheat. It's kind of like Jesus being crucified. He offered his body as a living sacrifice to transform us. And we have the mind of Christ. It says so in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at that. It says, we have the mind of Christ, but we're not aware of it, right? We kind of drift in and out. The important thing is we have it. We have air around us too, but we don't see that. We're not aware of that. It's a matter of awareness. So let's go over there to 1 Corinthians 2 and look at that. It's so easy for us to be aware of the earthly realm. It's not very obvious to be aware of the spiritual realm, is it? But that's where we're called to live. It's a joint deal. Just like Jesus, you know, he was living in the earthly plane, but he was aware of his Father. So he was aware of what his Father was saying. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing, and I don't say anything that I don't hear from the Father. We're called to the same situation. So over in 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 9, and this is all good stuff, so, you know, just because I don't read the whole chapter doesn't mean you shouldn't at another time. But it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Y'all agree with that? It's been revealed to all of us, right? We all see it. I'm working on it. I want to see that. But see, it's been revealed. We just haven't awakened to it. One time, this is funny, one time I had this dream, and it was a weird dream. There was this really rough dude mountain climbing, and he had all these like Sherpas, you know, carrying his stuff, and he was eating chili peppers, and he kept yelling, "More peppers!" And somebody would run up and give him a pepper. And I woke up, and there was a rooster sitting on the edge of my deck, crowing. But in my mind, in my subconscious, that's how I built that crowing into a dream. So that rooster sounded like it was saying, "More peppers!" But we're like that too. This has been revealed to us, but it's getting a little twisted up because we're not awake quite yet. We're just hearing it a little different. But God's waking us up, isn't he? That's the beautiful part. So to continue, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what God wants so much, for us to understand what he's given us. It's not perceptible to the natural mind. As we give ourselves over to surrender to him, our mind turns, our thoughts turn toward him and away from the natural way of doing things, and we're renewed by that. We all want renewal desperately. I mean, on so many levels. And indeed, this is a day of renewal. I mean, that's been spoken of by everyone since we got here. So we believe that. So if you skip down to verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. What a tremendous thing. And you remember over in John 15, Jesus says, "Everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Well, I'm having a hard time with, you know, in 3.5 years, Jesus told those disciples everything. That must have been pretty intense. And those guys were clueless, right? For the most part. They'd get it once in a while, and then they wouldn't get it. Do you believe that he's made everything known to us that he's heard from the Father? How about he is making everything known to us? Is that a little easier to deal with? Yeah, I think so too. It's turning from those natural things. There's a scripture in, where is that thing? It's over here. It's in this other Bible. Oh yeah, it's in 1 John 2. And I like the way the New American Standard and the King James have it. And where is that thing? I got it written down here. I just can't find it. Oh, it's 2:16. 1 John 2:16. So it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So, the lust of the flesh, the wanting. The lust of the eyes, the jealousy. The desires of the flesh, the pride of life, you know, look what I've done, I've made this much money, I'm better than so-and-so. We turn from all that. It's not from the Father. We don't need it. Let's go over to Genesis 25, if we could, please. And in we'll start at verse 24. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew, I'm famished." Probably, the context was more like, "I am so hungry, I'd give anything for some of that stew." And Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die. What gives a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So you know what happened. What's a birthright? Did you ever think about that? Birthright, I looked it up in Webster. A birthright is any right, privilege, or possession into which a person is born, such as an estate. Descendable by law to an heir, or the rights or inheritance of the firstborn. When we turn away from the Lord to pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we're giving up our birthright. Our birthright is Christ. Our birthright is the mind of Christ. All the power that is in the Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead and conquered the enemy is ours. That's a tremendous amount of power. That is our birthright. How quick we are to sell it off because we want a pleasure or we don't want to confront some situation or pain. We give it up for disappointment. How many have ever wallowed in disappointment? Yeah. It doesn't feel very good, but we do it anyhow. It's like we embrace the misery sometimes. Let's not give up our birthright. You know, Esau said, "What good's a birthright to me? I'm about to starve to death." Yeah, maybe it's not that obvious. The tremendous blessing of that birthright in a certain situation. Cling to it. Cling to Him. We have such a tremendous gift given to us. We're the richest creatures on the planet. We just don't know it. That's the sad part. We don't know it. How are we going to know it? Listen. Read this book. Get together with people and talk about what He's done for you. Recount in your mind how many ways the Lord has interacted with you. It's fantastic. We're so tuned in to the natural realm, we're just not aware of our inheritance, our birthright. You remember that story in 2 Kings? It was Elisha. One of the kings sent all their men down to capture Elisha. And the servant got up in the morning and he saw all these encampments around him. And he's going, "Oh my God, we're going to die." And he woke up the prophet. He says, "What are we going to do? We're surrounded." The prophet wasn't even worried about it, was he? He said, "You're just not seeing things in the right perspective." So he prayed for him, and his eyes were open, and he saw chariots of fire surrounding. That's the reality right there. And for those of you that want to look that up, it's 2 Kings 6. Okay. Just turn from the apparent earthly reality to view His reality, which is our reality, because we have the mind of Christ. It says it, so it must be true, right? This Bible wouldn't lie to me. If it says I have the mind of Christ, I do. Do I hear an amen? Thank you. Bless you.
I'd like to make a prayer that as we achieve the mind of Christ, the cooperation with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit.